that movie?
He's playing The Hobbit. He's playing Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit. So he is going to be unavailable for about 18 months.
Oh.
Because it's going to take them that long to shoot The Hobbit. That's the shooting schedule. It begins in March. They finally signed Ian McKellen. And the reason they didn't sign Ian McKellen for Gandalf until now, according to McKellen's blog, was not a money issue. It was that McKellen, who is, what, 71 years old or thereabouts,
wasn't sure he wanted to take on a year and a half shooting
schedule. Well, he wants the role. But but he had to clear the National Theater. He had to clear this appearance, appearance.
Sure, sure.
He had to clear a year and a half to go to New Zealand.
God, it's not like he's not demand.
There are no scenes. The only scene without Gandalf are the scenes in the cave. And even then, who knows how they're cutting the movie and how they're shooting the movie. So basically, it's a year and a half out of the life of the leads in the picture. And by the way, getting back to being human, Aiden, the guy who plays Aiden on The British Being Human, is one of the dwarfs in The Hobbit.
Oh, yes?
Which actually makes a lot of sense.
In what way?
Well, just the casting. In terms of
the quality of the performers, as opposed to he's short,
or is he an elf? Actually, he might be an elf.
He seems more elfish.
Yeah, he might be one of the dark elves.
I can see him with the little blonde hair thing and all the little fine features.
Yeah, well, I mean, they change everybody's hair color for Lord of the Rings
form. I mean, they squashed half of them, they shrunk them, they blew them up, they did everything they wanted to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I have to see the American
Being Human.
I suspect that my objections might be the same that I had to the British version. Whiny bunch of rotters. God, just get over it and get on with your lives.
Now, you see,
which was always sort of bothering me in the first.
Well, they don't whine in this. They mope. They mope.
American.
It's
more American.
From Toby Whithouse's, and he's another Doctor Who writer. Mind you, the guy wrote Being Human did the episode School Days, which was the bringing back of Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane episode School Days? Which one? That wasn't.
Where she turns up in the school, which Giles from Buffy.
The computer school,
Is it a. No, it's a kid's school.
No, it's a kid's school, but aren't the kids all on computers? They're all being channeled into some giant brain trust or something.
Yeah, some of those things get interchangeable. What was important was when the doctor sees Sarah Jane for the first time since Tom Baker dumped her unceremoniously on Earth and hasn't spoken to her since.
Yeah.
And they dealt with that where you have Billy Piper and Sarah Jane talking together and one of the other characters looks and goes, ah, yes, the ex.
Ah, yes, I love that. That was great.
You know, that was wonderful stuff. And that was a Toby Whithouse episode. Yeah. And that's the fellow who does Being Human. The writer.
Yes.
So... But, okay. I can see your problem about it's the just, whining. And personally, I love Russell
Crowe. I'm a vampire. I'm mopping freaking floors in a hospital. It's like, seriously, you couldn't find an easier way to get a blood supply?
But that actually is sort of there. Now, that same thing, they changed some of the names. George becomes Josh. Aiden is still Aiden, but he's, much more pretty. And hot sexy in this one. Instead of whatever the name of the bad vampire, the police chief is, he's much better looking. He was a bad guy in Lost, apparently, which I never watched. And in this, and the woman playing the ghost is almost identical. To including costume. And the costume's very important, of course, because as a ghost, she can't change.
She's like a cartoon character.
But where the first series was a little bit whiny and angst-driven and all that, it had comedy.
Yes.
This one has, its comedy is a little more unintentional, and it is filled with American teenage angst, which is what you expect on the Sci-Fi Channel. It is really, oh, my God. God, my life is pure, number one word.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's, and that's, and they get away, much more gore
Interesting.
In this, by
well,
the
though
way.
I'm always amazed at what they can run on the Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, I've sat there at 4 in the afternoon watching some of these. You know, the typical bad. You know, we've got a dinosaur movie at 9 o'clock, so we're going to run every bad dinosaur movie we've run for the last year up until that point. And I was sitting here at 4 in the afternoon watching a series of decapitations. I mean, the digital decapitations.
But how gory were they?
Pretty messy. I
oh,
mean,
yeah?
We're
a
talking
lot of blood?
Heads exploding. I mean, we're talking like the heads are being blown off. And I was shocked because. You know, it's like, okay, a nice clean slice is one thing and the head maybe rolls. But when it's like, because, you know, the digital burst, you know, where the head's just going into brain and blood all over the place. And then there's a nice splot someplace. But they did like 4 of them in sequence. I don't know what the movie was. But I was sort of
And somebody was actually writing about being human, saying, you know, are people really, or skins, it was skins.
Yes, yes.
And they were writing about skins and saying, are people really going to object over, you know, it being, you know, visible that, that some young lad has an erection underneath a towel, you know.
They're going that far? I don't remember that.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, let's put it this way. What do you think's holding up the towel?
Well,
and that's what they did on Skins. And so somebody was writing, do you think that this is what's really, you know, the worst show on TV for teenagers? Please. Far from it. The worst show is for teenagers ever is Jersey Shore.
Well, yes.
And there's an argument to be, you know, if you want to
there's
talk about people
the argument
copying
that.
Behavior.
Well, please, you know, and there, Jersey Shore is only the tip of that iceberg. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff on those reality things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, we're essentially raising a generation is being told that there's enormous reward for being a very attractive, shallow, pretentious, non-intellectual, completely non-introspective, sociopathic moron. And sadly, it seems to be true. There seem to be a lot of them out there with a lot of money these days from being on TV. The fact that we're basically putting them on to laugh at them and feel superior to them seems to escape the actual people making the money. But since they're laughing all the way to the bank, I don't think they really care what we
exactly,
think of them.
Exactly.
If they get $10,000 to show up at a club, get drunk, and puke, I mean, I could do that job.
Yeah. A gag you will like, though, is that vampires, as in the British version, Aiden can just walk out in pure sunlight wearing sunglasses.
And have a birth
and
sport
sandwich. And the ghost just says to him, so don't you go twinkly or something?
That's funny.
So, you know, so they're dealing with...
with the fact that we're vampires in an age when vampires are popular.
Yeah, and exactly.
And there's a culture that's talking about them all the time, and we have to... I really have objections to the vampire daylight eating food thing. I mean, at that point, what, we're really...
Now,
we're,
this Aiden doesn't eat food.
Well, because the BBC one was shoving food down his hole every 2 seconds.
Yeah, this one
cleaning
doesn't
off
eat.
A plate. Well, at least there's that.
And but I think he does show up in mirrors, but I'm not absolutely clear on that.
See, my feeling is if you're eternally young and beautiful, to not have a reflection seems remarkably unfair.
Well, unfair is what happens
that at
to
all?
The ghost, but that's the whole point.
Yes.
But and also, this Josh, as opposed to that George, that George was like, Jewish guilt angst-ridden.
I feel so bad. I mean,
this one is dislikable.
I
haven't found anything to like in this character. Maybe other people will feel differently. Yeah. But this guy is just, I don't see why.
Maybe they're going
I don't see like these two people like each other. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, then I've got to catch it then.
The ghost has no choice. But each time I watch it, I now watch the third episode, and that was going to be the I'm not going to watch it anymore episode if it continues being this poor. And yet they're, and now they're deviating a lot. You know, first episode was identical to the British.
Okay.
The second, almost, except for the
end. I think I managed to catch that in reruns on my DVR. So
the second, they had some deviations.
Okay.
And it was sort of like, yeah, okay, and if this is how they're going to do it, the same story, but with more American angst, that's it for me. The third one had a totally new subplot, which is I actually did predict it was going to go this way.
Well,
that this
sense.
Is how when they were going to deviate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't bad enough to make me say, I won't watch it again. And I was looking for that.
I was looking
to say, well, that's it. I now know
I'm
about
done,
this
I've
show.
Done this. And
I've done
this.
Yeah,
I've
been there, done that. And I can't say that. It's
well, if Josh is such a rotter, they may be going somewhere else with that. So
they could very well be. Or they don't recognize.
Either explaining why he's a rotter, or they don't understand that he is a rotter because they're rotters as well.
Yeah. That instead of his fiance, by the way, it's his sister. which worked much
better.
That
he bites and makes into a werewolf?
No. His fiance, who he left when he became a werewolf, instead of leaving his fiance at the altar 2 years earlier, instead it's he left his family.
Oh, that
and
makes
it's his sister with her gay lover, actually, who run into him in the hospital because the lover is hospitalized.
Going in for something. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it works much better.
Okay, no.
That works much better.
Boy, I must have missed some of the early episodes because I don't remember
that
story on him. Yeah. No, I mean, the British.
Yeah. And the third series story. Has just begun in England.
What can I say?
So... there's a lot to keep up with, and there's a new series of Hustle as well.
Oh, well, that's
starring
cool.
Adrian Lester, who's one of my favorites. Yeah. And he was one of my choices for the Doctor.
Well, I remember us having those conversations. Well, it was very funny because, I mean, I was surprised because when we were having that, it was like, really? He's British? Because I'd seen him in Primary Colors for the first time.
Yeah, so is Hugh Laurie.
An incredible, plausible American accent, as many British actors can do. Some do very bad American accents.
Yes, Stephen Fry has never quite gotten it.
But,
never.
I don't know if I've ever actually heard Stephen Fry do an American accent.
On QI, he does one occasionally, you know, nonfiction shows. And he doesn't, and in sketches. But he generally doesn't do one because he knows he doesn't do one.
Whereas Laurie's is really good. I loved...
Laurie's. I mean, how many people don't know House is British?
The funniest thing to me, that's nothing compared to the fact that I keep running to people who are big fans of House who don't understand that this man is one of the great comic gold mines of London television and has never seen Fry and Laurie, has never seen his work in Blackadder, has never seen him being...
Or Jeeves and Wooster. Which was on PBS.
I finally actually got because I'd read a lot of Woodhouse at a particular period, and I was rereading someone I was working on a story that was in a Woodhouseian, one of the group Rick that compared it to Woodhouse, and we went back and reread some. Mm-hmm. But I got the first disc of the first season of Jeeves and Wooster, and it's wonderfully dead on with the stories in terms of the spirit and the flavor of how the comedy works. But the two of them were just a riot. I mean, as Jeeves and Wooster. I mean, it was a wonderful series. I'm surprised it didn't last longer, and I had to keep getting the discs in so I can see the rest of it.
Yeah.
But it was perfect TV viewing while cleaning house, while I'm going through boxes from the closet. Yes, that's no pun intended. I didn't even think of that one. But I was like going through box after box from the closet and throwing things. I just sit there running marathons of comedy shows. And I watched all the Fry and Laurie's while I was throwing things out.
Yeah, I've been rewatching series 4.
Yes,
of Fry and Laurie. Yes.
I couldn't remember the first one.
Yeah, I just finished watching 3 and then number 4. So the number 4 was the one with the guests.
I think I did get through. Oh, yes. That was the strangest format.
It really is.
And then the weird drink mixing thing at the end of each one.
Well, that was from the beginning.
Laurie's playing the piano, but the guest thing was very odd. Because the first episode I watched, I wasn't expecting a format change. And then these guests. And then each episode is like, oh, I see.
Actually, each series is a little bit different.
It's the rest. Yeah, mildly. And you don't. But
usually subtly. But the fourth one is completely
different. The fourth one was
different.
Radically different. And that was just very. But it was. The oddest thing about it, of course, is not being British, not really having a British television. I don't know.
You don't pay your license fees. Yes.
I don't pay my license. The cat detector keeps going
by. I just saw the third one of the fourth series, and for the first time, there's two guests on every one.
At least
Imelda Staunton, I know. She's the first person
that's
I've seen
like
on
one.
There.
But all the others, it's like they're all very funny, but I have no idea who these people are, what they do when they're not on this show.
I think they're all extras on EastEnders or
something. It could be. I guess they must be famous in England. That's all I can say. I actually... in going through the boxes, I keep referring to this, but I did the thing that everyone talks about doing. I went through every box in the closet and threw out half of all the stuff in there and honed the rest down. But I ran across 3 DVDs, which turned out to be VHS tapes, which were PAL when I got them back to the States. Because they will lie to you when you're buying things in Europe. Oh, yes, of course it'll play. Yes, and return it if it doesn't.
Once in my life was I out of the East Coast, basically.
Yeah.
I was in London at the National Theatre, and they had a VHS tape of Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely, and they were lying through their
And it was PAL.
Well,
the wonderful thing is I got 3 tapes of Spitting Image. You remember Spitting Image?
I remember it well.
Fabulously funny show, and I'm going to get them transferred onto it. Yes, really. And I'm surprised that doesn't pop up again. Now, as we look at the clock, I feel like we should be bringing up other issues.
Yes, we should be. We should be.
Because this has been great fun.
It is.
However.
And you brought up the word marathon.
Yes.
And we should be dealing with that. Indeed. Indeed. Because that, you know, indeed. Having fun is half of our purpose.
Yes. But the other half is to let us know why.
The other half is to continue us to have fun by making sure that the radio station survives.
Exactly.
But, you know, before we do any of that, I would say let's listen to a bit of Bill Murray.
Ah.
Very brief.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air. I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money. We've been playing what you want, but we have to have your money. We can't make it without you. We played Margot Hemingway's new album. We debuted it, premiered it on this station. We're the only station in the whole tri-state area to play the Fish cheer all the way through. We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know? And we've sponsored a lot of public service stuff, man. We had the show on Saturday nights. We had a whole series on how to beat Bank AmeriCard. A lot of people, you know, want us to repeat it, you know? We're getting a lot of heat from the government. We're still going to repeat it, you know? The management says to go ahead and repeat it, so we're going to be able to play it for you people again. We had Mrs. Rosemary Kennedy's biography, her intimate biography, stuff that was uncovered about her life. We had that stuff on, you know, about how really badly she felt about her son's dying.
Indeed. Classic Bill Murray. Classic Bill Murray from the National Lampoon album, That's Not Funny, That's Sick. And it's fabulous stuff. Does it sound familiar, listeners? Does it sound like that wasn't a National Lampoon album? Like maybe, just maybe, sounded a little like WBAI. I actually met Bill Murray here at WBAI. Eric Idle was filming a small piece of his Ruddles TV show, All You Need Is Cash. And they filmed a bit of that in our studios on 62nd Street in the church, as we called it. And I gave them a joke that they used. Paul Wonder, myself, I think David Nolan. I wonder if Max Schmid was around then. I'm not sure if he was, but we were, you know, sitting in the hiding in the corner of the room where they were filming Bill Murray playing Bill Murray the K. And he was saying, oh, the rebels are coming into New York. I'm flipping my wig, you know. And they basically, he was improvising with Eric Idle directing him in the room. And we're thrilled. Cool. You know, what do you want, Python or SNL?
I mean, really.
Good Saturday Night Live as opposed to the crap Saturday Night Live. And and we were getting both in one room. And who doesn't love the Ruddles? Although we didn't know them at that point.
Wow.
And Bill Murray was just saying, what do we use for call letters? And, my God, what was my own joke? Oh, WC, I said the call letters can be WC, Flushing. Eric Idle thought it was funny. Water closet.
Oh, WC, Flushing.
WCWC, Flushing. Bill Murray got the Flushing. Eric Idle got WCWC. I had to explain it to them, but they used it. They filmed it. But when you actually watch the All You Need Is Cash DVD or TV or however you see it, what you see is you see Bill Murray in the studio, which is our old Studio B, and he's doing this and that, and then they cut away to the Ruddles in the car.
Okay.
And they're all talking, and under that, he continues talking. That's where my joke.
You hear it?
That's where my joke is. Everybody, don't listen to what's going on the screen. Listen to underneath.
Listen to the background.
Underneath. Listen to the background. Listen to the radio.
There we go.
And that's what we want to tell you listeners about. Listen to the radio.
Listen to your radio. Do what it tells you to do.
Do what it tells you to do. What it tells you to do on listener-sponsored radio is amazing, because listener sponsorship is a unique thing. And mind you, I'm not talking about listener supported. I think there is a difference. This may be cutting a fine hair between listener supported and listener sponsored or viewer supported. Terrence Taylor, my guest, has had the opportunity to work for viewer supported television. In fact, in revving up their viewer support.
Building up the March Drive.
Yeah, which I'm, by the way, totally against, because I just think that they shouldn't pitch on the air that our tax dollars should just totally go to support them. Stop making them subservient. This is my argument. Yeah, you haven't heard my rap on this?
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't be pitching at all. It's wrong. The American people should be just paying for them. They should get they should just get their budget from Congress or from an organization like CPB or somebody that gets their money from Congress. The idea that they have to pander to these fundraising drives, not to put you out of a job, but the idea that they have to pander, that they have to do their programming in order to simply be what it is for the fundraising drive and to worry about their seasons based on the fundraising drives and all that, and how will they get funded, it's wrong.
Yeah.
It is public television. It is public radio. And as a public thing, it should be paid for by the government.
Well, believe me.
Stop competing with us.
Yeah. Well, there's that. There's that, certainly. And I doubt you'd get much argument from public television.
They'd
be much happier if they just knew they had a budget and they just fall within that. And they don't.
I'm arguing for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the BBC is a great model and it works. From the fact that we keep taking their shows and making American versions of them for our commercials.
That's my other anti-PBS thing, which is that our tax dollars going to British shows. Because there's so many producers in New York that are deserving of those same dollars.
Well, KCET will be finding out about that pool in California.
That's
out of the PBS system.
That's right.
Well, you know what's happening is we're in the 21st century, as Torchwood pointed out. That's the year that everything changes.
That's right.
And it is. I mean, despite my chuckling at that line each time they'd say it, it is true. And one of the things I'm seeing happening is a lot of shifts in media. I mean, obviously the internet. I mean, technically anybody with a digital video camera and a website can have a channel now. I mean, within 5 years,
with 10 years.
I mean, I listen to all my radio on the internet through
anybody
the,
with
the
a so-called
stations.
Smartphone.
Absolutely, and it's changing how everything works, and that's part of the reason for trying to keep stations like this on. Because I mean, what's happening is that the model for raising funds for the viewer or listener supported is shifting. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, one of the things that public television gets torn between is you either get like the 50s rock and roll shows during a pledge drive that aren't run the rest of the year. You get Wayne Dyer. You get a lot of programming that only pops up during a pledge drive. And essentially what the station at that point is saying is, look, we need your money. It's one of two arguments. Either we're going to pull your normal programming and not give it back to you until you give us enough money to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're saying that we know you love this stuff that we only run once a year or twice a year during pledge drives so much that you'll give us money for the rest of the year for the stuff you're not watching, which doesn't seem to make sense. But the other argument...
And this station has sometimes gone through similar issues.
Very often
premium-oriented fundraising drives, which I'm not against,
but
there are other ways. Absolutely.
Those are the two conflicts. The conflict, and it's the conflict of PBS, and it wavers back and forth. It's, are you selling the toys, as we call it there? You know, we're saying, here's a great premium. This will benefit your life. Give us this money, and you'll get this, and you'll support us. Or are you pitching editorial? This is what we provide you. This is the benefit that you're getting all year round.
Which is what we're doing right now.
Which is what we're doing right now.
And we're actually providing the show now that we would normally provide.
And there's been good results with that. I mean, one of the things that PBS started doing was rather than running, 50s rock and roll show, they would keep Mystery on and only break it once maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, we could be breaking this every 10 minutes and running 20-minute bread. Give us the money. You want your shows. You want the regular programming. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to provide the regular programming at the same time.
We're trying to talk to you and give you an example of what a new Hour of the Wolf, because this Hour of the Wolf is very different than the old Hour of the Wolf. And it's much more freeform talk. It's become, again, more of a freeform show in this slot. But there's a big but, if you'll pardon
but it
the expression.
Has to produce results. Otherwise, it and you know,
otherwise there will be no Hour of the Wolf.
Well, we actually found a lovely publication that gives.
But before we get to that, let me say two things.
We'll save that. We'll save
one point. We'll save it for just a minute from now. Because one point I was going to make is I told you what listener supported, viewer supported is, where they get a fraction of their money. From the on-air fundraising, a percentage of it from CPB, which is a government agency.
Corporation.
It's a corporation.
Totally set up to take government money, channel it into public television.
Exactly. And radio. And then they have direct corporate underwriting.
Yeah, right.
Listener-sponsored radio. Pacifica Radio, as developed by our founder, everybody stand up, Lou Hill, in the just post-World War II, came up with this concept of listener sponsorship in the pilot experiment, as he called it, KPFA, in Berkeley. And the premise is twofold. One, it was the first time that in broadcasting that the person behind the microphone was the person who was determining what gets said on the air. They weren't handed a script. They weren't handed it was actually that person talking. Even if they were working off a script, they wrote the script.
They wrote the script.
Yeah, which is, you know, did not happen certainly on a regular basis, and I think at all anywhere else in the world at that point. Yeah. Number one. Number two, the concept of listener sponsorship. Approximately 90% of our money comes from these fundraising drives, not 15%, not 20%. We take zero corporate underwriting. Right. We get benefits from CPB, such as they help out with the rights for playing music on the air and some capital grants, I believe, come in, but not directly money and no money coming in for programs. No program is underwritten by. Right. You may get people from CUNY saying this program is produced out of City University of New York or something like that, but nobody is paying for a show to be on the air here. What we are paying for is people are paying for the station to exist. That is the concept behind listener-sponsored radio, and that is why we are here asking for your donations.
Indeed.
And this is not a premium morning. This is not a morning where we're offering the toys,
right,
as Terrence said, to
As incentives.
What we are offering is the programming and the station itself. Let me tell you a bit about the program, and then we'll tell you about the alternatives. And let me start telling you about the phone number.
I was going to say, should we also mention the phone number?
The phone number and the rates.
So that, as you explained, they would have a way
now,
to...
Now, you know, they don't have the information up in front of me. They have the pledge number over there, which is 1212-209-2950.
Yes.
212-209-2950. You'll be hearing that again.
There's only a few numbers in that number. You should be able to remember it easily.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. But what we're looking for is a minimum of $25. I would like to ask you for $50. Yes. I think people can afford to give $50. Yes. $25 is the minimum amount to become a subscriber to WBAI. Member. And they are talking about, you know, the benefits for subscribing members.
Yes.
And maybe even retroactively, the benefits of becoming a subscribing member during Hour of the Wolf.
There you go.
One of the things I've been thinking of doing as I'm preparing to put together a podcast of the show is that there will be sort of the equivalent of DVD extras.
Ah.
Things that don't go on the air.
Ah, we like that.
Yeah, indeed. Like for a few weeks ago, I had Genevieve Valentine and John Joseph Adams on the air. Uh-huh. She was going to read. We didn't have time. By the way, how long is your reading going to be?
It can be anything. I've got a very short thing, and I've got a piece of the book. It can be to any length we wish.
Okay, fine. So we didn't get to her reading that show.
But yet.
But.
Through the magic of technology.
We can retroactively fit in.
It was captured and put into the podcast.
Exactly. And that could be.
It's like the Daily Show expanded interviews online. It's a wonderful thing that we can do now, because we can go outside of time limits.
And this is something that we may do in conjunction with the WBAI website or perhaps just for subscribers to WBAI during Hour of the Wolf.
Yeah.
It's a conceivable idea. But we need your call. Let's get at least one or two right now. 212-209-2950. We're looking for pledges of $25 or more. I would appreciate basically $50, but whatever you can give. Oh, I have an important announcement to make, which I've neglected to make. The New York Review of Science Fiction Readings, held on the first Tuesday of every month, was going to be held tomorrow. It has been postponed, not because of bad weather in New York, but because our performers, Andrea Hairston and Pan Morrigan, are coming down from Massachusetts. And even if they can and will dig themselves out, the roads are too treacherous. Yeah. And we don't want to have the late Andrea Hairston and the hobbling Pan Morrigan or anything any variation on those themes. So please, tomorrow night, when it's time to go to the reading, don't. But we will tell you when it will occur, and we will reschedule Samuel R. Delaney, and there's all kinds of ultra-cool stuff going to be happening. But
once we dug out from the ice and the snow.
Exactly. And in April, when it all melts, by the way, we won't be the first Tuesday, we'll be the second Tuesday. April 12th, let me re-announce, April 12th will be the second Tuesday of the month. We'll have Carol M. Schwiller.
Oh.
Oh, and it's her birthday. It's her 90th birthday.
Oh, my.
Be there.
With gifts. Or at least a card.
Absolutely. Or at least a card. Like, and when I told her that we would have, like, cake, she said, can we have, like, a meat cake? I have a recipe for cake made out of meat.
Ooh, that's interesting. What if the icing would be?
I don't know. It could be a Sweeney Todd cake.
Could be the crust rather like a meat pie. But
for those who don't know the writings of Carol M. Schwiller, she is just marvy. And I didn't even realize she was 90. I know. Yeah, that'll be her 90th birthday.
Writing
kitchen. And boy, are we going to do it. We'll also do it on the air here.
Oh, that's great.
Also do it on the air. So we got big plans.
Meat cake. I've got to get that recipe.
Yeah, well, actually, Carol's going to send it to me. I'll post it as soon as I have it.
Because I've enjoyed the joys of meat pies, which I love, but meat cake.
I like meat pies, yes.
I'll eat meat almost anything. I'm just a carnivore.
There you go. We haven't gotten one phone call yet.
It's because they're rushing to the phones so quickly, the calls are jamming each other.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, it's exactly 2 a.m., by the way, and so time to say that this is WBAI in New York. The program is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. With me, Terrence Taylor. And you're looking askance at the door, Terrence.
There's a light flickering outside
the door. That's the on-the-air light.
Like, oh, that would be telling us that we're actually telling this.
That would
people.
Be warning okay. people. If I didn't have the door propped open,
I would be warning people not to come in the door.
Yes, exactly.
I was afraid that it was because we hadn't gotten any phone calls in the power.
It might be that. this big hook.
Fading it down.
This big candy-colored
kilowatt
hook.
At a time.
Yes, exactly. Now 99.4.
99.3, 99.2.
Yes, indeed. Okay.
As we start singing Daisy in slowing voices.
Exactly, yes. Robert was making a reference to that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, 212-209-2950. Kid gloves are going to come off. Because the fact of the matter is, if we don't make money here, I won't be on during other parts of the thon. If I won't be beyond other parts of the thon, whatever time slot I am relegated to afterward, and none of this is firm. Yeah. All the time slots here at WBAI are going to change.
Yes.
Where they're going to change, how they're going to change, are largely dependent on responses from you, the listener. 212-209-2950. $25 pledge or more makes you a subscriber. 212-209-2950. Terrence is here to read from one of his novels, and we need to make some money before we can have him doing that. Otherwise, only those people who I grace with a special email will be able to hear him read, you know, because I'll put it up somewhere and have a secret link. We were looking at RT. Did you want to talk about RTIR? Should we just shout the phone number? What do you want to do?
Well, we could shout the phone number again, then talk about what they could be hearing instead of us right now.
Yeah,
they
don't
call in.
I know.
I think that this frightened us. So
it really does. This is a magazine that gets they send a couple of dozen copies to WBAI every month. I used to get this actually put in my mailbox. There was one actually addressed to me. Now I think they just mass send a bunch of them.
Drop them at the doorstep.
Yeah, and it's this is a real magazine. It's radio, TV, interview, report. There is nothing in here that isn't intended to be serious, to be what you should actually put on the radio. These are publicists. I guess they're together as a group or something like that. It's subtitled The Magazine to Read for Guests and Show Ideas. And if we get, you know, desperate enough, the next program director, who will replace Tony Bates as the current one, is going to be looking at this for inspiration after he's thrown all of us out. And it's amazing.
So we've got to keep Tony's job.
It is amazing. Yeah, exactly.
We've got to make this work so everyone here can stay.
Yeah.
Doing what they're doing.
It is utterly amazing, the stuff inside of here.
Well, I love great topic for Valentine's Day. Is it okay to withhold sex for chores? This time of year, when romance is in the air, women's thoughts turn lightly to laundry and housework. And it's a fascinating little show, basically explaining to you that if you get your husband doing housework and reward him with sex, he's likely to do more.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people on both sides of the issue that would have an issue with that.
But. Can women and men really be friends? Is it possible for men and women to be friends without sex getting in the way? Should you worry if your girlfriend or boyfriend has friends of the opposite sex? These are some of the questions Ann Modi Lewis, PhD, will tackle with your audience. She'll tackle with your audience as part of a lively discussion about the many conflicts that polarize men and women and keep them conflicted. And the name of the book is Kiss Your Life. I'm not making this up. 365 Reasons to Love Who You Are. Kiss Your Life. Well, kiss us.
Yes.
By calling 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
I was just thinking 2950 in my very brain.
Yeah.
A nice, easy way to remember it.
It is. It is.
And if you can't form a relationship with a man or woman, is your dog your number one Valentine? Celebrate the holiday with your best friend.
What page are you on here?
31.
Oh, okay. I was on 37.
So our dog expert appears on your program to discuss the notion that Valentine's Day is going to the dogs. She'll talk about why we feel so close to the dogs in our lives and that they can do for us that people can't. Ways to celebrate with our favorite dogs that are healthy for them and appropriate for us. Now, that's interesting because obviously some people are celebrating in ways they shouldn't, that weren't good for the dog.
Yeah, exactly. That are
dogs
them,
so they had
that are
to qualify.
That are inappropriate.
I think there's a lot of inappropriate celebrating with dogs as soon as you're talking about them being your Valentine. I think you get into some issues. Then I love this one. How to manipulate anyone anytime and never feel guilty about it. Now, I shatter your speed limits. That's the book. I love it. But it's like, okay.
I mean, this is the back cover, maybe.
That one has even me.
How a frozen dead guy spawned coffin races, Polar Plunges and Grandpa's Blue Ball.
Which is in quotes, Grandpa's Blue Ball. So it's
yeah, single
do
quotes.
Put it on Tendre despite the fact that he only evidently has one.
Yeah, and this is not Grandpa Al Lewis, who was on our air for so many years.
And it's a line who I saw at the airport once coming back from Acapulco, and it was like, oh my God, that's Al Lewis.
And he's tall as anything.
He's huge and old. Man. It was like he was amazing.
Not as old as he claimed.
No.
Not as old as he claimed, but Paul Wonder's funeral, he got up and he said, let me tell you, I'm 90 years old and I have seen this and I've seen that. Well, the man apparently, when he died, he found out
he was wasn't
90 when
looked
he
like
died.
Hell. Oh,
wow. He was claiming he was adding about 5 or 6 years to his age.
Maybe it was all those years that the actresses around him were taking off of theirs, and he just took them so they wouldn't get sucked back into the
I guess so. He was doing them a favor. It was
an act of nobility.
Yeah, he was a wonderful crazy man.
But he wasn't frozen to death, and the father of a annual festival of dead frozen guy stuff, which evidently this fellow was. Which
Funeral Authority Gail Rubin, the doyen of death.
I do love that title.
As speaking at the annual event this March, have her warm your listener's heart. You're talking about frozen dead guys, but she will warm your listener's heart. Okay, now if this is the kind of regular programming that you think WBA, that you want to avoid.
WBA, call in now or you'll be listening to this next week.
Steve Post used to have the technique on this station of playing Kate Smith singing God Bless America until he got pledges.
Until I got, well,
this is our version.
We have access to the internet.
We do.
And we could play anything irritating that we want.
The newly dead
Don't
game,
make us do that.
Which tests how well life partners know each other's last wishes. And why you can't keep your mother-in-law on ice in your backyard. That's like a Ruth Etting song, isn't it?
Now, that seems to imply, though, you could keep her on ice elsewhere. That
yeah,
it's really location
exactly.
And not the icing part that's
yeah.
objectionable.
I mean, it's really, this stuff is serious.
Well, here's
what
for
what you should be doing on radio.
Well, here's two that are a compliment. Can repressed bisexuality cause mental illness? I don't know if... The idea is to let it out and thus feel better or somehow eliminate it. But we could put him on the air at the same time as the guy who's talking about changing from gay to straight as possible.
Sexual reorientation psychotherapist, Richard Cohen.
Yeah. What do you do when your child says, I think I'm gay?
Cohen himself, a former homosexual, now married with three children. Yeah, how many people married with three children aren't gay?
Confused children.
I mean, not aren't gay, but the point is there's plenty of gay people who are married with children.
Plenty of gay people who are married with children, yes, believe me. And they're all voting against gay marriage and meeting only in strange places that most of us would consider interesting and unusual.
Why he believes Rosie O'Donnell, Ricky Martin, and Melissa Etheridge are gray. Well, are gay.
Are gay, not gray. Yes. They may be gray
well,
soon.
At least one of them is out.
At
so
least one of them is
gray. What's
well, all three are now, actually, because Ricky Martin finally did come out. Ricky Martin finally came out. Melissa
so
Etheridge
three.
And
so
Rosie
well,
O'Donnell,
that's why
definitely.
He believes, because they say so.
Because they say so, and he's not willing to doubt them.
Absolutely not. 212-209-2950 is the number to call, by the way, to call and pledge. 212-209-2950.
Or next week you'll be listening to Is That Charming Guy a Keeper or a Creeper?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love because that sort of ties in with the three best and worst types of people to friend on Facebook. Now, of course, the thing is, if you could actually tell that they were insane before you friended them, I mean, why would you friend them? I don't know why you'd need a lecture on that. But
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Oh, this goes with the issue about dogs earlier. Cowboy talks horse sense about relationships. I'm probably reading too much into that.
It's a little bit of a metaphor. Well, you know, the thing is, though, on the plus side, I now don't have to take this home to read it in the bathroom. I've pretty much gone through it all sitting here looking for things to share with our audience because, oh, well, The Untold Secret Life of Howard Hughes. Now, evidently, and this I did not know, Jim, Howard Hughes faked his own death so he could live in secret with the woman he loved.
We've heard that one several times, actually.
Well,
I think he faked his own death in order to make the movie Howard and Melvin. Because he just wanted to see himself played by Jason Robards.
Played by Jason Robards. Well, he had the money.
Long before Leonard DiCaprio.
Making movies. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was a fun
That was
movie
a good movie.
Producer.
And with, I can't think of the
Melvin
actor's
and
name
Howard.
Now.
No, Mary Steenburgen.
No, but the guy in the car with Howard, Melvin, was...
Paul...
Yes.
Good actor. Didn't do...
Very good actor.
Yeah, he was also in a movie called Strange Invaders.
I was just
which
trying
was
to remember.
Very obscure and rather good.
It's Strange Behavior, Strange Invaders, same director. I was waiting for a third Strange movie, but Strange Invaders was actually remarkably
amusing.
Oh,
we've gotten a pledge.
All right.
Look
either
at that,
we...
$60.
Oh, that's very good. Well, thank you, whoever that is. We can always get your name later, unless you didn't want it said, but that's a lovely thing. That's a wonderful pledge.
Yeah, let's get more. 212-209-2950. Because we only do have a limited amount of time. Should we be joined again briefly by Bill Murray? Does that seem appropriate?
I think we could let him...
Let's hear what he has to say about all this.
Where the hell are you? Let's get some phone calls. 555-2150. What about you people in labor? Come on. Every Friday night we've been sponsoring a wobbly hour. We've been having old weird wobbly guys who worked the IWW back in the 20s and stuff. Let's back us up. We're in the same boat. 555-2150. It's us against the world. Let's go. Let's beat the world tonight. Come on, sheet metal people. Where are you? Okay, St. Mark's for girls. I'll give a kiss to every girl from St. Mark's that calls, pledges some money. Come on. You're some good-looking chicks. You got some handles over there. You mothers, you young mothers that are still up. The baby's crying. We're the only station that's got a radio daycare center, you know? We got a girl that comes in here and, you know, keeps the kids in their place. Shut up. Sit down. That kind of stuff. And it works. Because the kids listen to the radio and respect the radio. Now, why don't you show a little bit of respect? Give me a phone call at 555-2150. Call up! Give a couple of bucks. Do you want to hear radio again? You know, what if you woke up some morning and there was no radio? It sounds like the beginning of a short story, you know, but 1984 isn't that far away.
I don't know why it cut out there. That's
because
how
it is
old
that
it is.
Far away.
Because 1984 isn't that far away, and now it is, but now from the other
from
side.
The other direction, my
not
God.
Not from the other side, but what sounds the same are the pleas and all that, and the techniques. And, I've done them all. You know, I've done the okay, now let's hear from everybody in Queens. Now let's hear from everybody in, you know, and then you go neighborhood by neighborhood by neighborhood.
You sit with a map and you just go.
Yeah, exactly. But right now, I'd like to hear from everybody in the listening area. Okay, I'd like to get, you know, 25, 50, whatever amount you think is appropriate with a preferred minimum. The real minimum is $10, but $25 makes you a listener sponsor. It makes you a full functioning member. And the idea, by the way, let me tell you something. The idea that you can become a full member for a mere $25 is ridiculous. It's ridiculously low. We need your support. In this day and age when we're struggling for money, it's one thing to say, okay, we're making the price accessible. But the fact of the matter is, this radio is free. You're not paying for it. You're not paying any internet fees. You're not paying for HD radio or any of these things. It's not satellite radio. This is broadcast 99.5. million times a second, there's a little crystal, frequently bouncing, frequency modulation, 99.5 FM, coming out to you free and all that. So it's not like changing a price. It's like saying, we need your support. We need your help. This program, as well as this radio station, needs your support. Now, being in a relatively new time slot, you may not be familiar with this program. So in just a couple of minutes, we're going to give you an example of what this show usually is, which is writers coming on to read their work and talk about it, take phone calls about it, and all that good stuff. And in fact, I've been trying to push the idea to the program director, although we haven't spoken in a couple of months, about trying to, see if I can get a full 2 hours, whatever. As it is, in order to fit me in here after I got taken off Saturday mornings, he had to take time away from Robert Knight. But, you know, Robert wants his slot. I want 2 hours. We all do. And the way this all happens is by showing that there is support from the listeners for this kind of a program. Now, there always has been through the years, and you folk have always come through, but I think we just haven't been pushing hard enough or saying the right things. We've been going easy on you. We've been giving you programs so far. We've been talking about everything from mostly television being human, Brit TV, this, that, and the other thing, and Terrence is going to read some of his work in a moment, but we need to make an actual dent in the number. We have so far raised $60. We gotta go to three digits. I mean, that's nothing. We got, you know, $40. We're at $100, okay? Is that two people calling in $25 pledges? 212-209-2950. Let's get those calls now. I'm going to start sounding like Bill Murray in just a moment. And you know, this is why we all get that way. 212-209-2950. Bill Murray,
come
where
on,
are you?
God damn it. Excuse me, but this is ridiculous. We've been putting out, now put up. Put up or shut up. We're going off the air if you don't do it. I mean, you're only hurting yourself. All right, I'm sorry. Nobody's calling now because I blew up. Now, I'm sorry. I'll play a record or something. But please, somebody call 555-2150. I'm sorry for yelling. I apologize.
It just rings so true. It just rings so true. Every trope in there. What station do you think Bill Murray was listening to? Well, you know, it hasn't changed. All the tropes are in there. Let's play the other two bits. They're very short now. Each one gets
real
shorter.
Torture, you know. Listen to somebody pleading for money. I make a fool of myself begging for money when I got more going for me than a lot of you. And you won't give me $2, you know. I got that much money. I'll match all the money pledged in the next hour. I'm getting some money when I'm 25. So if you really want to hurt me and torture me, call up right now and pledge $150. And I'll write out the check. And it won't hurt that bad because I got it. But it would hurt me enough. So you get your money.
Your money's worth. And then finally, the last bit.
Okay, we just made it to $9,000. We just got the phone call. All right, I'm going to play some music in a second. I want to tell you first about who it was, the guy who came through, the guy who always comes through. My father just came in from Florida. He called from the airport and he pledged $50. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so if Bill Murray's father is coming in from the airport right now, I'd like him. You know, then they're talking
$50. And that's before
$50.
Cell phones, too.
Absolutely.
He had to get out of the airport and go to a payphone to pledge that $50.
You know, you could probably tweet the darn stuff at this point.
You could just take your smartphone and aim it out the window and make it come to
pretty much. Yeah, if you have an iPhone, I think you can do it now.
I'm sure there's an app for that.
There doubtless is. But what there isn't an app for at this time is listener-sponsored radio. The NPR app is something else altogether. But what we need is now the sponsor part. We need you to call. We need the $50 that Bill Murray's father was going to give in 1970. What year did that album come out?
Let's see. 84 was coming up. Maybe 81, 82.
No, and when he said 1984, isn't that far away? He could have been talking. I mean, that's
79.
The young Bill Murray there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would guess about 79. 79, 80 would be about the right time.
Because I think SNL, what, 76, 77?
Yeah. Year? Yeah. But he wasn't in the first season, was he? He was a replacement for...
That's right. I'd forgotten that.
He was a replacement on
Saturday
Night.
I really
hated
him when he was like, who the heck is this guy? Where's the guy I like? You know? And then he won us all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the razor's edge.
And the best actor of them all.
Yeah, in the long run, yeah. Certainly, I mean, I could put any Bill Murray movie up against any Chevy Chase movie, and Bill would come off quite well.
Yeah, well, that's also because Chevy Chase chose some pretty bad films.
Yeah, can I say? The Invisible Man thing, and that was like...
But even his TV commercials today are weird.
Yeah.
The bank commercials.
The airport thing.
It's really, really weird. 212-209-2950. Oh, my God!
It's that or sell bongs like Tommy Chong.
No, that. Oh my God.
Hey, we got over. We got to three digits. Hey, all
right.
We
got $94. Okay.
Okay, now, say I'm everything looking. You just
Something
said again.
Something weird is going on because, yeah. In fact, I am looking at the thingy. Yes. Yeah. We used to have a device called the Edelometer.
Oh,
because Mike Edel designed it.
Okay.
He's a TechServe now.
Okay.
But he was like everything technical at WBAI for many years. And we had this thing called the Edelometer, and you could see the calls coming in.
Oh.
And this little device here is supposed to tell us such information.
And yet does
but,
not.
And yet it's curiously does nothing, or else.
The people, the volunteers are so moved.
The one person who's answering phones back there,
yes.
has been saying, "I'll give him money."
I because we've inspired him.
Yeah, somehow I don't think so. We
no,
should be
I think
paying
he got
him,
called.
But
I
he's a volunteer.
So. Volunteer.
But so are we all.
Unless
volunteers.
It's Bill Murray's father.
That's it. It may be, or Bill Murray. Actually, he has, as far as I know, he and his ilk have. Been kind to us over the years.
I'm sure. Well, you know.
They've done work for us.
They should. They
the
were
years.
Being filmed in your studios, for
yeah.
God's sake. The
yeah.
least thing to do is give back.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, thank you, that person who called. We made the three
Or
digits.
Those people.
Or the
we
those
must have had several
called.
People. Yeah.
Yeah,
at least
well, actually, while you are reading, Terrence, I am going to take the opportunity mm-hmm. to go back and find out just who did call
exactly
and if
we
can say their names on the air. Okay. But you have something appropriate?
Well, I actually have two different things. I mean, I was going to read a chapter from the second novel, but I also know you like, you know, closure. So I went looking through my hard drive. And I found like a little 500-page short story. It's a very long
500-word short
500-word, yeah. Yes, that 500-page short story I think was my first novel.
That's your thing. Yeah, I was going to say.
Wow, 2 o'clock. And now I know how long my brain lasts.
That would be bite marks. Yes.
Right about 20 minutes. That was about the length of the first one.
Which is why we're both, I think we need to mention the name of your novels more
yes,
than
yes.
once an hour so
bite,
people
bite
know.
Marks
bite
and
marks.
Blood pressure.
Well, blood
people,
pressure, both by
people,
Terrence Taylor, TayLor.
As in Elizabeth, which fewer and fewer people know what that means anymore, which is very sad.
Oh,
people should remember Elizabeth.
Just old
Taylor.
Violet eyes. How can they? They've got to know who she is.
There's
she's
some
still
people.
Around.
There's,
she's with
people.
Us.
Yes, she is. She is. She's not as visible. But
WBAI listeners should know her well.
But they could go to doyoubelieveinvampires.com, where there's extensive material on both the novels, some videotape readings, a blog, and a serial story that's in episode 16 of 36 parts. Now.
Wow.
Yeah, every Friday a new episode.
That's right.
Goes
that's
out.
Right.
It's what Rick described as.
That's Richard Bowes.
Richard Bowes,
which was our first guest on this.
That's true. He was,
new
he was the premier. He was the premier guest and member of the writing group that you, your lovely wife Barbara, and I are both members of. But he had compared the story. He said it was sort of Lovecraft meets P.G. Woodhouse, which cracked me up. I said, you know, oddly enough, you're exactly right. That is it. I hadn't thought of it, but you're right. That's exactly. So that serial is up on the site as well.
Right.
So this is like just a 500-word story that was a short thing. I mean, it's not the deepest thing ever, but it amused me. So I did a little rewrite this afternoon. And I
oh, my.
Because at a beginning, middle, and an
so
end.
So we have
and
a
it's
premiere
only,
here.
It's a premiere. But this is, let's see, okay. But again, going back to the show, part of the advantage of Hour of the Wolf is that writers can come in and share things that are peripheral, perhaps, to published material. Things you wouldn't get anywhere else, because I don't know. I mean, maybe it's flash fiction. I could get this published. But to give a background.
But last week we had John Sprunk on, whose primary work is novels.
Yeah.
And he read a short story.
There you go. And it's so it's the wonderful additions outside of a writer's work that you usually get here as well. You get the backstories. And this actually... This was, and I may have to do something more with it at some point, but this was inspired by a real-life incident. I was watching TV one night, and a commercial came up for one of these dating sites, and it was the ex-husband of a friend of mine.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my God, is that David? And it came in quick, went so quick, I almost didn't notice. So the next day I watched, and they were running these commercials continuously. You know, I think there was the eHarmony was the one it was. And it was like every time you turn on the TV, and I immediately,
at least a little more tasteful than some of
them. I emailed my friend immediately and said, do you know your ex-husband has like got a new wife on a Need Harmony commercial? And she was like, excuse me?
Oh, no!
And I said, you should really know about this because this is about to hit. Everyone you know is going to be telling you this in about 2 days. And she emailed me back about 3 days later going, oh, thank you so much for alerting me to this because, yes, indeed, the wave has begun. But it inspired this little story called The Damned Spot. So with that background, I will let Jim find out the mysteries of the back room.
I will go out, damned spot.
There we go. It is not at all Shakespearean. He'd lost his job, home, money, everything in the last crash. While his firm was big, as it turned out, they weren't too big to fail. Denied a federal bailout, their bubble burst, without much fanfare and the loud crowing of the big banks that had received funds. And by the time it finished popping, Craig had lost his beautiful wife, Genevieve, too. She'd been his world, worth more to him than his position on Wall Street, more than the social status and million-dollar bonuses that had fueled their high-luxury lifestyle. Without money or status, his marriage had drifted, her passion cooled, until they were so far apart emotionally that she'd finally suggested they let their bodies follow. He understood, or said he did, but knew she was really just unwilling to downgrade from their uptown penthouse to his downtown walk-up and all that that meant. He'd have done the same in her expensive shoes, and for the first time felt shame in that. As the last savings he'd hidden from her lawyers dwindled, he sat at home alone, empty, with nothing to do to fill his time but television and the bottle while he looked in vain for work, a broker from a failed company. Then he saw her again in the last place he ever expected it. While he fast-forwarded through commercials on DVR, a familiar glint of blonde hair and emerald eyes caught his attention. Craig rewound, watched his ex-wife looking better than ever on TV for eromance.com, an online dating service. I never knew it could be like this, she said, ecstatic, as she strolled down a sunlit beach with her arm around a new beau, obviously a working one and quite successful. Met March 2008, faded in. Married February 2009, faded out. Craig had lived with Genevieve for 2 years before he proposed. They'd spent another year engaged. Craig opened a fresh beer as he scanned past it, but there was no escaping them. People had money for love, if nothing else. Late-night, get-rich-quick commercials dropped with the market, the void filled by e-romance. He couldn't avoid the happy couple as they celebrated their endless love night after night. To be haunted by the living was a nightmare impossible for his parents or theirs, a curse peculiar to the modern media age. No matter how often he flipped channels, no matter how quickly he fast-forwarded, he saw them out at dinner, kissing on a sailboat, playing frisbees on the beach as they detailed Craig's failings. I thought my divorce had ruined me for love, Genevieve sighed. My ex-husband was a real loser. After a few weeks, unable to sleep after watching them play again and again, night after night, like dripping water eroding his will, Craig agreed with her and decided to end it all in the tub. He balanced his TV beside him on a card table and waited for the commercial to come on, then toasted the happy couple with his last beer, tugged the cord with his big toe, and watched the set drop in as they toasted back. His suicide didn't make headlines, but another story did a few weeks later, an odd little filler story about a woman from an eromance.com commercial found dead in front of her TV for no apparent reason. Afterwards, late-night viewers had noticed that the man with her in the commercials looked different somehow. The site checked the footage, and sure enough, there was another man with her in the commercial, and all the footage shot of the couple that day, as if it had always been him. Not the slick stockbroker husband she'd been filmed with, but a scruffy-looking guy who needed a shave, had bleary red eyes, and looked like he hadn't slept in days. Friends of the woman identified the unfamiliar face as her ex-husband, found dead in his bathtub across town the same day. As rumors of digital ghosts grew, eromance pulled the spot, but it was too late. The internet saved it for posterity, as it spread across countless sites, along with a story that made it of any interest at all. It looked innocent enough unless you knew what it had looked like when it first aired, or knew the real identity of the two people in the commercial. In it, Craig and Genevieve smile forever in cyberspace, his arms wrapped tightly around her as they go out to dinner, kiss on a sailboat, play frisbee on the beach, together forever. It's hard to tell if it's love or fear on the haunted housewife's face as she repeats what she'd always said, night after night, now probably truer than ever. I never knew it could be like this. The end.
I was trying to cue up Lost in Cyberspace.
Ah!
Sally Fingerhut from the Four Bitchin' Perfect Babes, but I was getting information from the back room.
Damn.
The people, the three people have called and pledged.
Ah, three people.
And I don't know, it's not coming up here, so we're just going to have to, you know, watch for those
numbers. The numbers change.
And there's only, you know, our one stalwart person in there answering the phones. So we have to be patient. There is what we call tally lag.
Yes. So if you don't get through the first time, try again.
Absolutely, absolutely. But please do keep trying. But I do want to thank Steve Bass from Manhattan for what I presume is a $60 pledge. I presume, $50.
Well,
because I know that somebody gave, the first person gave a $60 pledge. And that is Mr. Anonymous from Manhattan. I know they said, no, we can't use a name on the air, but that doesn't stop me from mentioning the borough in which they reside.
Indeed.
And that was a $60 pledge from Manhattan. And then a regular donor to our proceedings gave $40, John Gladstone Gelman of Brooklyn.
Oh, we love it.
Brooklyn, Ontario.
Ah.
There is such a place, and he's a regular donor. He moved out of New York, but he has been listening ever since
through the internet
and called in. And I know that he called in $40, probably matching when I knew we had 60 and I wanted to get that.
Yeah. Up to we wanted to get the three figures.
That's why brought us over the limit. That Mr. Bass gave 50.
Well, we
got a 40, a 50, and a 60.
We love loyal expatriates.
Yeah, exactly. And
and just
out of counters, because of course we get a regular phone caller, Bobson from Bulgaria.
No, we love that the internet can do that. Yeah.
And that's amazing. That to me is just...
No, I
there are only a few things that are 21st century worthy.
Yeah, but that's one of them.
That is one of them.
Well, I have a house guest tonight. My friend Jody's wife, Adimide, who's also a very good friend, is in New York, and she came over. We chatted for a bit, and I left her there to, like, crash on the couch. But she may or may not be listening at this very moment, but she has a lovely little droid device about the size of a paperback book that she was running through on a demo.
That would be a Galaxy Tab, probably.
It could very well be. It was a lovely thing, but it could do all these fascinating things.
It's like an iPhone, but an iPad, only
more.
I mean, there's going to be 100 of them out within the next couple of
months. Yeah, yeah.
But the first one is the Galaxy Tab. I've still got my little droid device.
I was telling her that the friend I was going to see tonight was droiding quite before she was. But she was able to just pull up. She was like, well, can I hear it on air? And she was able to pull up, you know, the link to the BAI site, push a button, and bingo, the live feed was playing right out of her little device
That's right.
So this is the wonderful thing of the 21st century.
You can't do that on an iPad and an iPhone. You know why? Because our feed comes through Flash.
Yes. And she spent about 5 minutes on that subject of how, you know, people with their Apples think but there's all these things they can't have that are on there, and Flash is just one of many.
Or freedom.
Yes.
But, you know, there's the other argument. There's the other argument that, you know, the curated device, you know, the walled garden in either case, so those pro and con.
Yes.
Call it a walled garden. And it's like, yes, well, being a walled garden means it's all pretty and they keep it pretty for you. And make sure that it all works. And the other side of that is yes. Yep. And they tell you what you can like and what you can't.
Yeah, because you're still trapped in the garden. It's their wall, whether you like it
exactly,
or not.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how pretty it is inside the wall.
Yeah. So, I mean, and both, by the way, I think are legitimate arguments, only I prefer the outside the wall.
Yeah.
I prefer my build. Roll your own.
as they say.
And this is very much roll your own radio.
Yeah.
Here at WBAI, roll our own. But it is very true that people come to the station, they develop ideas. It's not, we're not public access, speaking of phones. I just muted mine. As you started talking about phones earlier, I figured I should mute mine. Because there's, is that Jody? Oh, you got texted.
It says
you got texted.
It's very funny. It's
okay.
It's,
you'll have to share it.
It's edema day. The first message was, "I can't believe you're plugging the Samsung on air." And the second message is, "And yes, I'm listening," and a little smile face. So, hello, Edema Day.
Yes, well, not, you see, I'm not necessarily plugging the Samsung,
but the droid technology that powers it.
Because the fact of the matter is that Cisco also is about to have one. The same people that make the flip camera. There are about 40 at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah,
in the first exactly a month ago, mm-hmm. there were over 80
different
tablets, of which maybe 10 or so were based on Microsoft, and 70 were based on Android.
Now,
and all of these are coming out within the next few months. So there's about to be a deluge. Although I have to say, the Galaxy Tab is awfully nice looking. Very expensive, but awfully. I played with one. They're sweet.
Well, I've been watching hers was quite amazing. One of the things I found the funniest was because it's got a little background, and when you slide the icons on the surface across, the background moves slightly.
Yes,
which was just like funny. I hadn't looked at your Droid.
I got penguins on mine, of course.
But it's the same software. But I thought that was very. And you could do little animated backgrounds.
I can do the same thing right here. And you notice?
There are the penguins sliding across a little bit at a time.
I purposely chose my wallpaper. So to be a Antarctic background, so that you wouldn't see anything on one side, and then suddenly penguins would slip into the snow background. Exactly. I hope all of you watching your radios can see exactly what I'm talking about.
What he's
about.
Describing.
Right? Oh, donate now, and then send me an email, and I will send you a picture of the same.
There you go.
You got the same picture that I got.
You could put the penguins on your background.
I can put the penguins. Exactly. I will.
So we do have premiums.
There we do.
There is some incentive.
It's a promise. It's not a premium.
It's not a premium. It's a promise.
But we do need phone calls. We do need pledges.
It's true.
We only have 20 minutes left. Less when you count my outro theme.
I think my first time on air here, we pledged in the last 20 minutes of the show. I think we pushed up like 1,220 minutes. That's right.
But let's point out that also, at that point, that was 6:30 in the morning.
It was 6:30 in the morning, and we had like
that,
nice
that
little $100 packages
prime,
and things.
It began the day and moved on to.
We caught those early waking people.
This show gets the late night listeners.
Yes,
and moves into the early morning listeners. There is a drop down in numbers, but there oughtn't be because anybody who hasn't heard Lister's show, Burn Baby Burn Clappers, which is the name of the show following us.
I love it.
I told you off air, by the way, about the records he's produced turned around. Look at that poster.
That's his.
That's his over there. Bob Marley. What does it say? The photographs of
Kim Gottlieb Walker.
Okay, I'll have to ask him who that is.
Well, if you go to
Is that
Lens
him just
woman.
Coming
dot
in the
com.
Door now? No, that's not. That's the wonderful Sydney Smith, who's now on the air on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m., alternating with R. Paul Martin, both of whom you've met.
There, yes, indeed.
At my house, in fact.
There we go.
But the number to call is 212-209-2950. Now, we've gotten a $40, a $50, and a $60 pledge. Let's get a $30 and a $70.
There we go.
Okay. That would be another $100.
There we go.
One person, you choose between the two of you.
You can
which who will be
connect.
The 30 and who will be the 70, but don't take too much time. Just think, I'm going to be this one.
There you go.
And whichever one, and if you both choose the 30, so be it.
And if you both choose the 70, so be it.
Even better. What we need is a lot of $25 pledges so that you become regular listener sponsors. You become an actual member of WBAI, which, by the way, it does have its benefits, which include voting. Now, houses benefit or a problem, you can get to vote in the WBAI elections for board members and representatives of the WBAI board. Yes. I kid you not.
Yes.
I kid you not. That is an actual...
Which is control very few supporters have over the things they support.
It's true. It's true.
They actually have a voice in it.
And people do. And people have a voice in keeping the radio station alive, which to me is the primary thing, yeah. Whether it's democratically run, run as an autocracy, as a republic, I don't know. But what is, and there are advantages to each, but as people know, I'm terrible at politics. I don't handle them very well. I never have. I'm infamous
so for
it. It doesn't matter. This is an arts show, okay? And arts presents politics. Politics seldom represents arts, but arts often represents politics.
Absolutely.
And we do that here on WBAI.
Absolutely.
We do both. And by the way, one of the changes and the programming changes that have come about in the last few months is that I've noticed a trend towards more arts programming.
Mm.
This is a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
It's a very good thing because
they're ripping it out of the schools for the last few decades.
They're ripping it out of the schools. It's been ripped out of WBAI.
Yeah.
It has been. You know, a lot of what has gone on in the left has been, frankly, humorless. And we are not humorless. Or at least I'm not. But the point is, I mean, if you can't laugh in the face of the Tea Party, you know, and I know it's difficult to. I know it's very difficult to laugh. It's hard not to bust a vein thinking about that, but you need to be able to do it. And one of the ways you can do that is by sharing it here on a radio station that sympathizes with that thought. 212-209-2950 is the number to call now, to pledge now. Please make a minimum pledge of $25. Where else can you tune in and listen to somebody like Terrence Taylor read a not-yet-published short story? That was, by the way, really sick. I loved it. 212
and not gory, so you can enjoy it.
It was right up my alley. Now, I have problems with visceral
gore.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think I told you, but I'll tell you. Margo Adler really, really liked the second book, and it wasn't as
gory.
And it wasn't as gory.
It wasn't as gory, but it was very
interesting. And that had something to do with her appreciation of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I must say. So here's a vote from two radio people, and she is so wrapped up in vampires. She did a lecture on vampirism.
Oh, no, where's she? Because you made a reference there. I
have to find the email. I have to find the email. I'm sorry I missed it. Had I known in advance, Margot, I might have even been able to record it and broadcast it or something. Because we know that the people you work for, Margot, NPR, ain't going to do it.
Margo, we'd love to hear that.
Margot is, of course, what's the technical term of her job title? She's a correspondent. She's an NPR correspondent. She may be the New York correspondent for NPR. But she's been doing a lot on vampires. A lot to them, by the way, means she's done 2 4-minute pieces in the last year.
They're like, my God, what's with the vampire thing, Margo?
You've
done 2 pieces. That's insane. Are you mad?
That's exactly the point, but it is insane. She's done, at this point, over 130 vampire novels in a row.
No, I love that she's onto this kick and sort of decided to just catch up on the whole
and
field.
She's hardly
the thing is she may
end
up.
She read one novel two novels that aren't. She read American Gods by Neil Gaiman and Gary Steingart's new book.
But I mean, she may be able to put a whole new perspective on this as it's sort of drifting.
Well, that's exactly her intent. Her intent.
Because I mean, it seems, God knows, it may not be the best year for me to come up with a vampire novel since people are so inundated. And people think vampire, and they think Twilight. It's like, no, there's so many vampire writers who are nothing like that, who are doing something very different. I mean, I've started thinking of my book as the vampire novel for people who hate vampire novels because the people keep reading it and saying, oh, I really enjoyed this, and they sound surprised. Somehow they thought they wouldn't, but...
Well, that's quite understandable.
But there's a lot of writers who are getting, lost behind that rubric.
I was talking two weeks ago with Sydney Smith, who just, cannot take vampire novels. And if anybody asked me offhand, I wouldn't necessarily be in favor of them unless they have something going. But I really enjoyed yours, although I squirmed
in certain spots
through a number of portions of the first.
Yeah, the second one I got
up to speed. Second one I had no problems
with. Well, the thing is, the first one I had to establish the universe, and there was a certain character, there's a history that had to be told. The second was nice because that was sort of, there wasn't the obligation to do as much back history in that way. And we knew
actually
by then.
Didn't have second book problem.
No, I mean, I'll tell you, you know, I thank my editor for that, for buying the second book basically based on a half page synopsis.
Wow.
Yes, I was very lucky because but
also knew your writing.
They knew the writing because they'd read the entire, well, they'd read the entire first novel and bought that essentially. And her thing was, you know, well, if this does well, you want to have the second one sewn up, which is good. But the blessing of it was that I had a contract in a year to do the second book. There wasn't time to panic or get nervous about it. I just had to roll from, I mean, once that first manuscript was finally rewritten, accepted, I had to start the second one immediately, and I had a year, and I made it, which amazed me because I keep joking, the first one took me 20 years since I started the idea to finally finish. It took a few years to really write it, that, you know, when I finally sat and wrote it full time, but you know, it was one of those things.
You have a hit with the first thing, and it takes you 10 years
to write the second thing. So,
and then they expect the 1,000-page sequel to come out in a month.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I ended up reversing it because it took me 20 years to do the first one, that a year to do the second one.
Poor Naomi Novik had such a hit with her trilogy,
which was like,
and you know, thankfully they printed the entire trilogy 1 month after the next.
Wow, wow,
that was a wonderful thing for, I think it was Del Rey.
Oh my God, that's exhausting. That means like.
But then they wanted the 4th, 5th, 6th book.
Oh, to come out like that.
And she did it somehow.
Wow.
She did it.
That's amazing.
The Temeraire novels, and she sold them to Peter Jackson.
Wow.
That's nice.
No, that's, you know.
That's nice. So the movie rights.
Yeah.
To Peter Jackson, for those who.
But for those who. Two people on the planet who don't know who Peter Jackson is at this point.
Yeah, and they're both hobbits.
Yes.
By the way, 212-209-2950, we now officially have under 10 minutes of pitching time left.
So now we have to take out the big stick and start beating you with it.
In a good way. 212-209-2950. I haven't seen Lister yet. I assume
trust our audience
coming in this morning. I'm not positive of it.
Could there have been another schedule change?
Well, or I didn't look at the schedule. I was very myopic.
Yeah.
I looked to see when I was on.
When should I actually be in front of the microphone?
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
an important
exactly.
point to find out.
But usually he is here by this time, setting up all of his CDs. Oh, we got $25 more. Thank you very much.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we can't see the calls coming in. We can't thank you as the call
comes in. But we can see you
because this device here that is supposed to give them to us, it doesn't seem to be going. So I don't know when the calls are coming in or not. But we are going to. So we're taking it for granted that a phone call or two are coming in. But if there were a lot of activity, I would know.
We would know. We'd feel it.
We'd feel it.
The force. We'd feel the surge in the force.
Exactly. Exactly. But we do need your call. We do need your
pledge.
Because
the time is running out.
It is. It is in so many ways.
Yes.
In so many ways.
And it is important to do it during this show, to show support for this show, as well as the whole station, but specifically this show, during this period.
Yeah. And you know, for those who aren't familiar with this show, when we say science fiction... Yeah, that includes vampires. I found a way to find out whether calls are coming in for not.
Oh, yeah.
Turn on
the
microphone.
Mic
because it's not labeled. It's actually not labeled. I have two of these open, and I didn't know which is which.
I didn't know we had a microphone in the other room there, so we could hear the volunteer.
Yeah, okay, so it is actually turned on, and we have a call coming in. Excellent, excellent.
So we can crane our necks and look at the monitor.
So, you know, now we only have one or two people answering phones. I see one person. I know there's one person, and if... absolutely needs be. There's two other people that can go in to help out. So Let's make him busy in the last couple of minutes, the last 6 minutes of this show.
Don't be afraid to call.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the of what? Of what?
Of
I don't
know. Phone.
Of 209-2950. 212-209-2950. When I get into automatic pitching mode, I start giving out wrong numbers. I have done this. Yeah, I give out the numbers. Oxford 7.
You start giving out Bill Murray's home phone.
What it is I give out the numbers that I learned when I was pitching in the early 70s.
You go right back to reflex. Motor neural response.
Oxford 7. I'm not going to say it because by now, this 40 years later, these are people's phone numbers now.
And they may not appreciate a call at 3 in the morning offering them
$50. Some of those numbers aren't you know, 555. 2910 or something, or 291s, would be a number like that, where it was very specific. But so if I start going on automatic,
I hear a phone.
We have new technologies of which I'm unaware. There is something on the computer
that tells you a count and the other.
It actually gives me the phone number that somebody is calling from, I think.
So we could call them back. Thanks.
Thanks, but we know that some calls are coming in, and I am so appreciative of that.
No, this is
great.
We
have 5 minutes left. 212-209-2950. Let's get a few calls in. 212-209-2950. With every call that comes in, I'll understand a little bit more about how this
works.
There we go.
There we go.
It's like, I would have said I missed the memo, except there wasn't.
There was.
There were meetings. There were at least one or two. There was one meeting at least.
Do you really think
about
though,
fundraising.
The meeting they could have brought that up at a fundraising.
And it was the same night as, I think, the KGB reading or something like that. Yeah, the last KGB reading.
Yeah, sitting in an edit room for the last two of everything.
Yeah.
But I was earning money. I'm not going to complain.
You've been at Channel 13 all that
time. Yeah, they really can be busy. Been doing some good stuff.
Yeah, no, there are some. I don't. I put down the system, not them.
No. We would never.
I have problems with the whole.
And the issues you brought about the system are, as I say, they would certainly be the first.
Oh, I think they would agree with me.
They would be the first to agree. Believe me. Can you imagine how much? Well, I mean, that's the irony. I mean, the money they would save by not having to fundraise, would be able to go into programs.
Well, it's just awful. It's just awful. Yeah. It's public, but they're not paid for by the public.
Yeah.
What's behind that? What's up with that, as some would say?
But
here it's all different. Here
it's very different.
We are listener sponsored, and we want you, the listeners, to call in and sponsor us now with $25 or more.
212-209-2950.
Very good. Again,
in unison.
Yeah, 212-209-2950. You said 209, I said 209. It's the old.
And yet, it's the same number.
Yeah. 212-209-2950. We have 3.5 minutes. 3.5 minutes before I am supposed to put on my outro. I haven't seen Lister yet.
Maybe we'll keep going.
Or maybe somebody else is coming in, or maybe there's a recording. I am not sure what.
Maybe there's a button we should be pushing as we leave the room.
Well, that's true. But actually, Tony. There's Lister.
There we go.
Okay, good.
You're usually
in here before now. Jeez, man, I was wondering. I've told Terrence so much about you. 212-209-2950. So Burn Baby Burn Clappers does happen at 3 a.m., okay? Okay, so.
So call it out and support this.
Say hi to Lister, Terrence. Okay,
212-209-2950.
So now, yeah. And when Lister's cold outside, it's freezing out there because this is a very, very, very warm man.
I'm back from Egypt.
Oh, my.
You got stories for the next hour.
You're not serious, right? With you, I never know.
I wish.
Yeah, you wish. Yeah, really. 212 Joel Cairo. That's
209-2950.
with a little black bird. Yes, exactly. 212-209-2950. So now that we know for sure, that Lister is in
need,
that we
supplanted.
Know that our time is up, as it were. Another time is starting. And boy, is that a wonderful time. But it also means that there is closure to this this week's episode of Hour of the Wolf. We know some calls are coming in. Don't see it on this darn little lit board, but we can hear it.
We can hear them, and we can see little numbers appear on the screen.
212-209-2950. We have but a scant, minute and a half, basically. And I got to find my outro theme. 212-209-2950. Please call now. Please say thank you to WBAI for putting on this show. Please say, and mind you, WBAI, please keep putting on this show.
Yes.
And because we're under scrutiny, all the programming is subject to change after this thon.
Nothing
we want to make a
guaranteed.
Good showing here, because our current program director, Tony Bass, is very sensitive to how we do on the air. He considers it a vote for the program.
Yes.
And indeed it is. It's not only a vote for the station, it's a vote for the program, and certainly says a lot about whether that program is going to be on during the fundraising drives. That's 3 months out of the year.
So you could have a hiatus for 3 months out of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
We
and we got
out.
Like 45 seconds left. 212-209-2950. Please call and pledge now.
And thank you to all who did.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry I can't read all the names because we're not going to have time. But we've got fabulous radio coming your way shortly. And hopefully an entertaining radio that has passed your way this morning. So we need your call. We need your pledge. I've got scant seconds left. I do need to thank you, Terrence.
Well, thank you, Jim.
To remind people that the names of your novels are?
Blight Marks. Bite Marks and Blood Pressure, the first two books of the Vampire Testaments. They go to doyoubelieveinvampires.com to find out more.
Okay. And doyoubelieveinvampires.com is, I guess, the portal to all this
indeed.
Appropriate stuff. This is your first time on in this new slot.
I know. And I feel much more awake than usual. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's a late night show.
Just warming up now. I'm like ready to go for two more hours.
Yes,
I feel
exactly.
Like, gee.
Well, you're ready to listen to Burn Baby Burn Clappers.
There we go.
But, which is a great way to spend a couple of hours.
There we go.
But we'll be back. We will be back.
Indeed.
At some point, and you'll be back on the show wherever
indeed.
It may be. Hopefully,
however
it's somewhere.
It may be.
And it exactly. So, thank you. What was the old radio sign off? Thank you, Mrs. Caliban, wherever you are.
Mrs. Calabash.
Thank you,
Mrs.
Calabash,
wherever you are.
That's
there Jimmy Durante.
Thank you, Jimmy. So, inkadoo to everybody out there. And stay tuned. You know the name of the show, Burn Baby Burn Clappers. This has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. Check me out at OurWolf.com on Twitter at Jim Freund, FREUND. And Terrence Taylor at doyoubelieveinvampires.com. Have a wonderful morning. Walk carefully. It's icy out there.
nation out of system.
Burn it.
Revolutionary war is a necessary road to real liberation. Could we really win?
Somebody say,
burn, baby, burn.
Imperialist inferno,
burn, baby, burn.
I heard somebody say,
burn, baby, burn.
Imperialist inferno,
burn, baby, burn.
Turn that mother out.
$225. We're doing it right here at 99.5. This is the Begathon. Why we call it the second day of fundraising right here at 99 Cinco WBAI. Listener sponsored, non-commercial radio. 3 minutes after 3 o'clock, you're in tune to radio station WBAI. New York. Listen, breaking news right here. 6 people murdered in Tahrir Square in Cairo. Fighting against the system. Asia, these pigs on horses. I've never seen nobody come on no cameras or horses during a demonstration. They gotta be pigs, P-I-G's, straight up, in plain clothes. And when they grab these suckers, they had their police badges in their pockets. 212-209-2950. You know what to do right here? $60 for the documentary. Documentary, Egyptian Revolt. The uprising right here, 99 Sinker. 212-209-2950. $60. Your contribution to keep the station going. Let's do it right here and everything will be all right. Listen, we're going to keep you on top of it, what's happening in Egypt, because you can't just stand there and don't do something. Get involved.
Peace.
At exactly 10 minutes after 3 o'clock, 10 minutes after 3 o'clock, we're doing it right here at 99 Single List Alive. And we're kicking it off with what, $25? What do you say? $25?
Right. It's Donald Freeman.
Donald Freeman.
He's beginning to free all men with his $25.
Just like a real revolutionary Egyptian. I love that. Thanks very much, man. Yo, we appreciate that. Did you hear that? $25 kicking us off right here. And if somebody would just contribute $300, bought myself 2 tickets to go see Anthony B at BB King's, as in Anthony B. You give up $300, I give up my 2 tickets to you. That's my contribution. How about that? We'll do it together right here. Now, $60 can get you the documentary, The Egyptian Revolt, right? What's the detail on that?
Robert Knight had it a bit earlier.
Robert Knight from Shadow.
Well, yeah.
5 o'clock Shadow.
Well, yeah, from
5 o'clock Shadow.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
Yes, Shadow. I always tell him, who knows what evil lurks in the heart of our leaders? The 5 o'clock Shadow knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Robert...
and you
Robert
have no excuse for not knowing now because of the 5 o'clock Shadow. Yeah. And we're not talking Calypso Shadow. We're talking revolutionary.
That's not a bad little conversation.
Okay, all right.
I remember Shadow.